Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. Let's stand and worship this morning. Let's stand. We have a great God, man. We have a great God.
Water turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Hey. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome. Power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? And if our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? Awesome in power, our God, our God.
And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Declare it out, declare it.
What could stand against?
What could stand against?
What could stand against? What could stand against? One more time. God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. I'm gonna sing a simple song today, and it's a song between you and God. And all it's saying is, you have rescued my life. How many people have been saved by God? I was reminded of a time where I was going here and there, definitely not the church. And sometimes I find myself in these revivals and in these churches, and I just begin to cry because I never thought I would see a time where I'd be so excited. I sneak out of house to go to revival, y'all. That's big. So it's a simple song.
You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never going back.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life, and I'm never going back. My response is hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Hallelujah. My this crisis. Hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Hallelujah. See, you have rescued my. response is hallelujah. You're my redeemer. Hallelujah.
Has God saved you from anything today? Come on, has he rescued you from anything? Do we have a reason to praise him this morning? Is he seated on the throne in your life today? Come on, can we give God a praise in this place? And let's just say hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah. Just sing hallelujah to him. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Right where you are, I just want you to just close your eyes and begin to open your mouth and tell him in your own way, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Jesus, we thank you for the ways that you've rescued us, the ways that you've healed us. Father, we give you glory in this place. We worship you, Lord, we worship you. We give you praise, we give you praise. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Just tell him, Jesus, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we honor you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've rescued my life. Let's sing that one more time. Come on.
You have rescued my life.
Jesus, we thank you for rescuing us today. God, we thank you that you're faithful, that you always meet us right where we are. Lord, even when we fall into the pit, you reach down and you lift us up out of the miry clay, and you set our feet upon a rock, and we will not be moved. Lord, we thank you that you are greater than every trial, every circumstance, than any difficulty that we could face. You're greater, and so we give you praise today. Hallelujah. Can we give God one more big shout of praise? Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise God. Such a joy to be worshiping among the believers today. If this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. We'd like to invite you to meet us in the foyer after the service in the Welcome Center so that we can give you a gift and get to know you a little bit better. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you're worshiping with us today, and we're glad to have everyone who's here in the house today as well. Are you glad to be here? Praise the Lord. We have a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, March the 3rd, we have a special guest who is known for having a great sense of humor. He's going to be really ministering the ministry of joy to us, and so we're excited to have him coming. He's a powerful speaker, very real, very raw, very honest, and so I think he's going to be a breath of a fresh air and just bring a unique anointing to the house. There are going to be two services on that Sunday. So there's a morning service that we regularly have, and also at 6 p.m., say 6 o'clock, we're going to have an evening service. So make sure you come out for that, and don't come by yourself. Do not come by yourself. Get your unsaved friend. Get your friend who hasn't been in church. Get your coworker who you've been trying to reach with the gospel. Tell somebody that they need to be in church that Sunday. Because we're going to be focusing on the lost in that evening service. It's an evangelistic service. It is for people who do not know the Lord. And so you want to use that as an opportunity to share the gospel. Can we do that? Can we share the gospel with those around us? Is that what we're called to do? So bring somebody with you Sunday, 6 o'clock, a week from today. Also, we have a concert coming up, Sanctus Real, Unspoken, J.J. Weeks. You've heard at least one of these groups on the radio. I know that you can sing the song in your head. Even if you don't recognize them by name, when you hear the song, you'll say, oh, I know that song. And so we're really excited about this concert. Last week, I know it's already on your calendar, because last week we pulled out our phones and we put it there. So I want you to pull out your phones one more time. Can you do that with me? Let's pull out our phones, and I want you to open up your camera app. I'll give you a second. We're not in any rush. We're in church, I know, but I'm giving you permission. You can pull out your phone. I'm doing it too. So pull out your phone and then scan that QR code right there and click that little yellow link that pops up. We're going to take our time today. Yeah, that's right. These tickets are getting sold today. All right. And then all you've got to do is put in your name and your email, click save and continue, and you go right through that process and you've got your tickets. All right? So make sure you get your tickets for the concert March 14th at 7 o'clock, right? 7 p.m. March 14th, Sanctus Real, Unspoken. We want to fill the house. This is a unique opportunity. World-class artists. They could be anywhere in the world, but they're going to be right here in the little town of Ahoskie, North Carolina. Can we get excited about that? And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. This is an opportunity to sow into the kingdom, to give unto the Lord out of our abundance, because we believe that God blesses us to be a blessing. The Bible says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's 10%. So at least 10% of your paycheck, of what you bring home, belongs to the Lord. And so we want to give to the Lord generously. We want to give to the Lord out of faithfulness to Him and out of obedience. And we know that when we give, the Bible says, I will open up the floodgates of heaven. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed today. And so we want to give to the Lord. And we also have an opportunity to sow into missions, to sow into special projects that accelerate the ministry that we do right here in this house and all across the world. And we call that Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is an opportunity for you to go above and beyond the 10%. If you want to be blessed above and beyond, then we give you that opportunity every Sunday to sow into Kingdom Builders. We encourage you to make a weekly donation, a monthly donation, whatever God lays on your heart to do. An easy way to do that is to go into PushPay and select recurring giving, and make sure you select the fund that says Kingdom Builders. And so you can do that by scanning the QR code that's behind me. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box, or you can go to csicministries.com. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. Let's pray over the offering. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to bless you with what you've blessed us with, God. We thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in the work of the kingdom by giving of ourselves, Lord, giving of our finances, and we want to be obedient to you. And so, God, we ask you for a return, Lord, on the spiritual investment that we are making today. We know, Lord, that you desire to bless your children, and so I bless those who are giving today, Lord. We bless the seed and the sower, and we believe for an increase, God. We thank you for what you're going to do in this service today. We ask that you would speak to us and move in our hearts, Father. Shape us into the people that you desire us to be. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. How many of you came here this morning expecting a move of God? I know I did. So as we stand all over the building this morning, if you can stand with me. God, we ask that you fill us up. Fill us all the way up. Because we want more of you. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Provide the spirit, I will open up inside. You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
Fill me up. Sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Could you just lift your hands right where you are this morning? Come on, let something come from your mouth. The sacrifice of our praise, the fruit of our lips. Lord, I worship you. God, I thank you. God, here I am to worship you. You're an amazing God. You're El Shaddai. You're Jehovah Jireh. Come on, just tell him what he is to you today. Tell him what he is to you today. Provide the sacrifice, the fruit of my lips, giving thanks unto his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Could I have some, if you served in the military, if you're in the military, you served in the military, ladies and gentlemen, would you make your way to the altar this morning? If you served in the military, thank you. You served in the military. There's a gentleman right here. Look, obviously you didn't leave the military with how the military has left him. He's on the street. Somebody took literal what I said. You know, if you see somebody and obviously they're struggling, you, as a body of Christ, you go to them. You go to them. And so they went to him and invited him to come to church today. And guess what he did? He came to church. Okay? And so, Joel, get you some oil there. Get you some oil there. Obviously, the trauma that he's faced has affected his nervous system, and he has trouble with a sense of balance. Okay? He has to have help to get around. And we need to make sure you're getting everything that's due you. Sorry about that. So maybe we can connect with him after the service and make sure you're getting all the benefits that are coming to you. But we want to benefit you this morning with the presence of God, okay? The presence of the Lord. Come on, stretch your hand out this way and let's just believe God for healing. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what an honor it is to stand today in your presence. What an honor it is to feel your presence. What an honor it is to come together with people of like precious faith who trust you, Lord, who trust you with our lives. We trust you with our souls. We give ourselves to you. We avail ourselves to you. And Lord, as we stand here today, I pledge to my brother today. I said, I'm glad you're here. You're going to feel God's power today. You're going to feel God's presence today. Lord, may your power, may your presence envelop his body today like he's never experienced before. Your presence, your peace that passes all understanding. Guard his heart. Guard his mind. Thank you, God, for your provision for him. Not only provision for daily life, but provision for healing. You're Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You're Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Come on, have him lift up his hands right where he stands. Lift your hands up. Just lift your hands up in the air. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, just infuse him with your power today. Infuse him with your power to encourage. Your power to build up, your power to strengthen, your power, God, to inspire, your power to heal. In the name of Jesus, your power to heal. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Touch him today. Touch him today, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And thank you for serving our country.
Yeah. Amen. Well.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give God a hand of praise, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise today, would you? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Beyond impact. How'd you know, right? All right. Thank you for your sentiments on my 63rd birthday yesterday. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm shocked that I'm 63. I am. I don't feel 63. Some days I feel 73. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. No. I feel 43. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, thank you for your kindness and your generosity, your love for us, for our family. Praise God. Thank you for your love for Jesus. And thank you for even beginning to pray now, Lord, who should I bring next Sunday? Next Sunday is going to be a powerful time. Thank you, Pastor Noli, for just giving that fair treatment. It's on Sunday night is really about evangelism. Sunday night is casting a huge net. How many of y'all know some people that are just kind of turned off by church? Like, you would never think they would come. You've asked them before, and they just don't want anything to do with it. Don't say to them, hey, will you come to church with me next week? Say, hey, I want you to come to my church. We're having a comedy night. This guy's hilarious. You just trust me. He is, okay? He's hilarious. Pastor Joy and I went to see him. And at the same time, she and I turned our heads together, and I said, this guy's crazy. This guy's crazy. I want to get him to come to a Husky. So I vetted him, all right? I went and see him, and he's a tremendous story of redemption. Grew up in the ministry, rebelled in every way, and God's got his hand, and he's stood on platforms. If you can think of somebody's church, he's been there. Amen. So just pray and ask the Lord who he would have you to invite and bring them with you. Go a step further. Hey, let's go out for pizza at 5 o'clock, and then we'll go to the comedy show, okay? Just go ahead and throw some bait out there, all right? All right? Praise the Lord. Beyond impact. Beyond impact. There are people that are in this room that are carrying things that God never designed for you to carry. There are people in this room that have infirmities that, you know, sometimes we say, well, you know, man, I tell you what, the devil is just eating me up. It's not the devil. The devil's not doing what he's doing to you. You're doing it to yourself in some cases. Okay? I remember years ago praying for someone at this altar this person was grossly overweight. And this person could hardly breathe and had severe issues with sugar. And the person began to tell me how, I'll tell you what, the devil's just attacking me. My knees are killing me. I said, it's not the devil. It's not the devil. You have extreme sugar, you're grossly overweight, and it's not the devil's fault. It's your fault. Come on, guys. Sometimes we carry things that are easy to blame it on the devil. It's called Flip Wilson theology. The devil made me do this, you know. No, sometimes you're carrying things that you really shouldn't be carrying, and you're the source of the trouble. Okay? That's hard, but I'm just telling you, it's the truth. And then sometimes we also have issues that we go through in our life that if you trace it back, you're going to see from the biblical standpoint today. This is not my foundation, it's God's foundation. There's a woman crippled. And the Bible says that the reason for her crippling was a spirit. Somebody say spirit. Spirit. Now, the first thing you think of is what? Come on. All right. Somebody said evil spirit. First thing, how many of y'all think that when you read that passage about this woman, the Bible says she was crippled by a spirit. How many of you would vote and say, I think it's probably an evil spirit?
Come on, raise your hand. Look at that. Bomb. Okay. All right. So we'll let the scripture speak for itself today. The question is, what happens beyond spiritual impact? The Lord began to give me this download of things to talk about several weeks after the revival, in the midst of the revival. You said, Pastor's always talking about that impact revival. You know why? Because it made an impact, okay? It made an impact on my life. It made an impact on the lives of other people. The question is, what happens beyond a spiritual impact to our church? What happens beyond a spiritual impact in my individual life? A time when the Holy Spirit visits us and has a strong influence and a strong effect on my life. Thus far, I've identified three areas. We've been going through these messages, and I've identified three areas of impactful response. The first thing we said is that it gives you a conviction. The Holy Spirit renders a conviction upon your life that leads you to a point of salvation or even rededication of your life to serve Him in a deeper capacity. The second thing is a desire for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me, immerse me in your presence. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, a great desire for us to evangelize. The woman at the well said what? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. You got to see this man. She was immediately from a lady who had had multiple marriages and was shacking up with the guy that she wasn't married to then. He said, you know, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and now you're living with somebody. And Jesus gave her water, living water. And it so revolutionized her thinking about that, thinking about her present situation, thinking about all the mess that she'd been through to go through five marriages. And Jesus changed her life, and she turned from that into an instant evangelist. And she said, come see a man. She was immediately wanting to do what? Point people to Jesus. That's an impact of revival in her life. Today I want to share with you that sometimes we're impacted in such a way that spiritual deliverance comes in one or more areas of our life. Spiritual deliverance. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you are struggling in some area of your life, some habit, something that you know full well you really should not be doing? You shouldn't have it incorporated into your life, but you still do it anyway. You're a Christian, you're saved, but you know full well, really, I shouldn't be doing this, man. I shouldn't be doing this. But you just keep on doing it. To him that knows to do right and chooses rather to do wrong, to him it is what? Sin. Y'all were weak on that. I said, to him who knows to do right and chooses rather to do wrong, to him it is sin. And God's not pleased with sin. He's not. He's not going to bless sin. He's not obligated to. And so we must understand that sometimes there are some spiritual strongholds that the enemy has on us. And God wants to set us free from those things that have us captive. It's robbing us of our peace. We think about it when we're sleeping. We think about it when we wake up. We think about it when we're on the way to work. We're thinking about it while we're working. I know I need to get rid of this. I know I need to stop doing this. I know I need to get out of this. But I just can't. That's called a stronghold. And sometimes we just need to break free from strongholds. We walk in an authority over our household. We take authority over our families. God wants us walking in authority. He wants you to walk in authority in your family, authority in your household, and see the bonds of wickedness broken in every area of your life, in every area of my life. Listen, you and I are in a spiritual battle in our lives. Let me remind you that Satan is on task 24/7, 365, okay? The Bible says he's like a roaring lion roaming about, doing what? Seeking whom he may devour. And he's progressive. Jesus said he was progressive. Jesus in Luke 10 and John 10:10 said this. He has stages. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, And ultimately, his goal is the destruction of your soul in a devil's hell. He wants to steal your joy, make you miserable in your walk with God, steal your joy. He wants to kill your spiritual life and ultimately destroy you. He said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. And my question for you today is, are you living your life to the maximum potential that God would have for you? Are you living your life to the full? Are you enjoying the blessings of God, the freedom that you have in Christ, the peace of God, that you don't have to walk in this conviction every day because you've surrendered it? You say, Lord, I give this to you. I give this to you. Somebody say, clean house. It's time to clean house. God's looking for people who walk in purity. I know I've used that verse as a precursor in almost every one of these messages, but in each one of these impact messages, but it's certainly the adversary that is one thing. He's consistent in his pursuit of you. He's consistent in pursuit of your loved ones. You and I are in a battle. The scriptures declare this to us not only through the lips of Jesus, but through the lips of Paul as well. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 to 5, this is what he said. He said, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We're living in the world, but we don't wage war as the world does, because the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, the weapons that we have, you could say, inserted there, have the power, divine power, to demolish the strongholds in our life. I gave you an example of my own life. I was a Christian. I was serving the Lord, but I would leave the bar, slam the bottle down. I am not doing this anymore. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have this thing that just knocks on your heart's door. You don't want to do it. But what happened in those days was alcohol had a stronghold on me. I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right for me to be at those places on Hillsborough Street every night. I should have been home studying. I should have been home preparing for what was ahead of me, an exam the next day. But I didn't worry about that because I could lie and cheat my way out of it. Class has 400 students in it. They don't take roll. Hey, take this test for me. Slip a little cash and not even show up for the class. It's a shame, but it's the truth. I passed veterinary science at NC State University and went to the class 2 days. The first class day and the last class day. I never showed up for any of the elements. I had people who were informants keeping me up to date on, well, hey, we got a test. Got a test next Thursday. You take it for me here. So just take an answer sheet and fill out an answer sheet beside yours, put my code number on it, and turn it in for me. I did it because I had something to cover up. There was something that had a stronghold on me, and I would rather be about my business than about the business of education at that point. I was a liar. I was a deceiver. And I had ways to cover it up. Some of us sitting in this room today, you're lying about something. You're deceiving about something. You're covering up something. But you still come in here and, you know, you clap your hands. Oh, I love the music. Oh, the team did so good today. Yeah, they did, but what about your stuff? Y'all are quiet today. Y'all are so quiet today. Listen, welcome to life. I know about it. Why? Because I lived it. Lived, past tense. I lived it. Some of you are dabbling in things that you have no business dabbling in. You don't. But you, long as the right people don't find out about it, you're okay. Can I tell you, the right one really knows about it. The Bible says the hairs on your head are numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without his awareness. He knows where you are. He knows what you're doing. He knows the stronghold that you have in your life. And he is the one who's able to free you from that in a moment. Freedom is a precious thing. It's a precious thing. It's so nice to lay your head down on the pillow and be at peace. It's so nice to be able to work and not have something that you're doing wrong on your mind. People start to ask you, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. But no, you just don't act like yourself. Okay, that's a warning, okay? That's a warning. Something on your mind? No, I'm good. He says the weapons we fight with have the power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here we go. And we take captive every thought and make those thoughts what? Obedient to Christ. I'm gonna think godly things. I'm not going to think ungodly things. I'm going to think righteous things. I'm not going to think unrighteous things. That's why we have to be careful today in this techno world. Man, these things are designed to catch you. They're designed to snare you. They're designed to, it's like a hook. And if you say, oh, I don't use it that much. Oh, really? Check your screen time. I remember one week my screen time came up. You've been online this week. I said, that's a lie. Okay. Guess what? That wasn't a lie. This has the ability to keep up with how much screen time you spend on it. Okay. Okay. So who was the lie? You are, okay? I was. You have to be careful. This is a culture we live in today. And we have so much that is vying for our allegiance, so much that is vying for our attention. And we have to understand that the enemy wants to get in there any kind of way he can and just create a stronghold for you. But you have the power to demolish those strongholds in your life. Spiritual strongholds that have come to pull you, to distract you away from that which God intended for you, the abundant life. He wants to distract you. In this message today, we'll address the root of some of these things. Nevertheless, we have to understand that the enemy tries to use these weapons to bring you ultimately, we said it earlier, failure, distraction. You slipped off the track. That's what the enemy wants to do. And I'm going to tell you honestly, weapons will form against you, but they don't have to prosper. Okay? The enemy, I guarantee you, weapons are formed against you to make you look such a way. Okay? Oh, I thought she was in church. Well, yeah, she had a little slip up. Okay? I thought he was serving the Lord. Well, he is, but you just pray for him. The enemy wants to bring you to one of those statistics where you are running well. Paul said, you are running so well. What did hinder you? What got in your way? What was a roadblock for you? What was a distraction for you? Isaiah 54:17 says this. The prophet of God said, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Look at this. And this is their vindication for me. The prophet of God declares here that the Lord will vindicate you. The Lord will lift you up. He'll prove the right standing on his own. He will justify the spiritual condition of the servants of the Lord. And that he will put a divine stop to every weapon that is formed against you. You know, Pastor Joy and I live with a target on our back. We have a target on our back. Because why? Because we're the leaders. We're the leaders. How many of you, it breaks your heart when you hear about the disappointments in a Christian leader's life? It does, don't it? It breaks your heart. You say, man, you know, somebody's always in the fire. Just a few weeks ago, they were eating T.D. Jakes alive. Don't it disappoint your heart? Because you begin to say, hey, I wonder if there's any truth to that. And then somebody will say, man, you can't trust nobody today. How do you know that they're not all just a bunch of projected lies? Okay? You don't know. You know what I chose to do? Father, I bless that man today. I pray for him, God. I pray you'd surround him, protect him. Because you know what? I don't know him. And he don't know me. I've been to his church, but I didn't get to talk to him. But I just said, Lord, bless him, protect him, God. God, save him from the mouths of those who criticize him. In Jesus' name. Because you know what? People talking about me too. People talking about me too. Can I just tell you something else? They're talking about you too, okay? They're talking about you too. My target's just bigger, that's all. But people talking about you, especially if you work in a company and you say, hey, man, you have a good weekend. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know where you were. You were at church. You know what they say about you behind your back? They're trying their best to find some flaw, some little hairline thing that they can get against you because they think ultimately it makes them feel better about themselves that they can criticize you because you claim stuff. They don't claim nothing. Okay? So their goal is to make you look bad. Their goal is to find those things that they can criticize you for. But the Bible says here that there's not a weapon that the enemy has forged against you. I'm here to vindicate you, says the Lord. I'm here to lift you up. And the enemy may try his best, but I'm telling you, not a weapon formed against you will prosper in any capacity. Now, the condition is that you've got to be doing your very best to live right. God loves people who live right. He loves people who don't live right, too. That's why you're living right now, because you won't live in right. He loved you, and now he wants you to live right. That's why the New Testament says it teaches us to say what? No! Teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So you have a choice with ungodliness. Either you bring it under the blood, or you justify your behavior. Well, I'm going to quit in January. Man, it's a long time to January, okay? We just passed that, you see? You follow what I'm saying? We do it in little ways. We're the masters of it. How many times have you tried to lose a little weight and you say, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start Monday. Okay? Come on, y'all. Anybody? I'm going to start Monday. Monday's always start day. And you do good Monday, you do good Tuesday, Wednesday, you fellas, well, what the heck? What the heck? I'll start next Monday. Come on. Monday. Come on, y'all. Pastor, how do you know that? I live this, okay? I'm a human being too, okay? The prophet of God declares that he will be with the righteous people. Notice the songs of victory that we sing. Notice the words that we sing when we're on this platform, when we're standing in this sanctuary. There is power in the name of Jesus to do what? To break every chain. Break it. Do we really believe that? Man, music is such an integral part of who we are as believers because we not only study the word, preach the word, listen to the word, we sing the word. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's an army rising up. Guess what they're doing? They're standing in the gap for you, praying for you, interceding for you, that you will not fail, that you'll be victorious. This is how I fight my battles. Come on. How do you fight your battles? On your knees, thank you. On your knees. You fight your battles in a posture of prayer. Father, live inside of me. Manifest your glory through my life. Give me a hunger for your word. Father, convict me of any wrongdoing and help me align myself, God, with your plans and purposes for my life, God. Cleanse me, God, of any way that I've erred, Lord. See? Do you really desire to live clean? This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded. I am by you, okay? I'm surrounded by you. Amen? And if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I love that math. Come on, y'all. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Listen, you've got the armies of the Lord. You've got the people of God on your side. You know, I love hear little things like this. Sometimes Mother Jenny will say to me, she said, Pastor, call your family's name every day of my life. Right on down the line, Wallace, Joy, Zach, Caleb, Cassandra. She lists my whole family. all the way down, all the way down, every grandchild, she calls their names. Man, let me tell you what a comfort that is, to know that you've got people in the faith, people in the family of God, calling your name before the Lord. Father, meet his needs, bless him, God. Anoint him, God. Just meet his every need, God. Protect him, Lord. Keep him in good health, God. Calling your name. Listen, this is how we fight our battles. Standing before the Lord. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I place my confidence in the armies of the Lord. Intercessors, warriors, people of prayer who stand in the gap. Those who make up the hedge. Isaiah was so right. Not a single weapon forged against you will prevail. Man, there are so many ugly things that have happened to me in my life when it comes to the enemy. My life has been threatened. I've been put in an automobile with the FBI and taken to a house. Do you know this man? I said, dude, I don't even know where I'm at. You're asking me, do I know who lives here? No. This is the man that said he was going to kill you. Pass me a long list of convictions here. Look at what he's done. Pastor Phillips, I don't know why this man is not in prison. This is the man that said he was going to kill you. Do you want to prosecute? I'm sitting in a car with an FBI agent in Greenville, North Carolina, and I started to weep before the Lord. I started to weep. He said, what's going on in your mind right now? I said, no, I don't want to prosecute him. He said, you don't? I said, no. He said, why not? I said, because Isaiah 54:17 says, not a weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I had a chance to minister to the FBI agent. You say, well, why in the world would someone threaten to kill you? Because I integrated a little church in Ahoskie, North Carolina called Carpenter Shop. And somebody got angered enough that they were going to threaten my life because I bring people of varied ethnicities together to worship God. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is as if the oil of Aaron's beard were falling down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. There's where the Lord says, I will bring a refreshing. And I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but every time we come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at 903 South Catherine Creek Road, there's a refreshing that comes in this house. Why? Because people of like precious faith come together. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. This is not supposed to work, but it works. Because you love Jesus, okay? That's why my life was threatened. That's why the enemy said, I'm gonna take him out. And so what was the enemy trying to do to me at that time? The enemy was trying to get me to walk in a spirit of fear, and I would pull the plug on integration and say, we got a backup here. We really might not want to be the church where all are welcome. Whole lot easier just to serve chocolate. What do you need this week? Just vanilla. Wait a minute, dude, there's 33 other flavors I do. No, just vanilla. It's a whole lot easier just to go the norm. When you start going against the tide, that's when you get a target on your back. But can I just tell you something? God loves you. Red, yellow, black, white. You are precious. This military vet's probably saying, man, I come to church here the first time. They pull me up to the front, pray for me. I understand this on video. You know why I pulled you up here to the front, sir? Because I care for you. I don't even know you. I just met you today. But I care for your soul, okay? You did something I've never done. I'm not going in the military. I was asked, no. I'm not going into boot camp. I'm not going to let a drill sergeant holler in my face. No. Plus, I'm not willing to lose the weight that it takes to get through boot camp. Okay? So you did something I never did. And obviously, it has wreaked havoc on your life. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, seek first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I know nothing about you, but I don't know anything about your soul, but I know this. If you don't know Jesus, today you can know him. And if you get to know him and put him first, your life, sir, is going to change. Okay? I can't promise you that you'll walk across the front like this with no issues, but I can promise you this. You'll lie down at night with peace in your heart. Amen? You will. You probably already feel better since you've been here. Amen? Do you feel better? You coming back next week? Amen. That's good. We got a place for you. Plus, you've served as an opportunity for the other people in this congregation to now have a sense of compassion and burden for people who've served in the military. See, I never did any of that. I wasn't even a Boy Scout. Okay. I wasn't even a Boy Scout. But you served in the military. Just think about it, friends. Right now, our soldiers are in the Red Sea. They're on guard. They're in the middle. Yesterday I heard it on the news. The first time since who knows when, I don't know, like the 1800s, since the United States of America has chosen to get where in the battlefield? Right in the center of opposition. We are sitting in the center of opposition. And our troops, men and women, are fighting off the forces with bombs and missiles and everything coming in there at them every day. That's why you need to pray for your military. That's why you need to pray for them. Pray God's help pray for Israel. Pray God's blessings upon Israel. Pray that our president, whomever he is, will always stand for Israel. Because whoever blesses Israel will himself be what? Blessed. Pray for your military. We just had a new family come into the church last week. They came to Bible study Wednesday night. They're back in here today. When I asked them, hey, so where do you work? What do you do? I'm in the military. God bless our military. God bless our military. Those who serve in military. And if I had it do over again, I still wouldn't be a Boy Scout and I still wouldn't go in the military. Why? Because that was not God's lot in my life. God called me to preach the gospel. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm in the armies of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So the enemy wants to put a target on your back and on my back. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. God's got your back. Zechariah 4, 6. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But I've given you authority, Jesus said, to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. God has the ability to cover you. I was looking at that news story yesterday, and a guy was asking him, so what are you guys facing? He said, man, everything. He said, you can't bat your eye. He said, every waking hour of every day, you cannot bat your eye. You must stay focused because the enemy is constantly hurling missiles this way. See, you're just going to work. You're doing your thing. You're working around the yard, shopping, going to Sam's Club. You could care less about a missile. But somebody's out there on the battlefield. Somebody's out there on the battlefield, and they're serving. And you, my friend, are on a battlefield too if you've never served a day in the army. It's a spiritual battlefield. And the enemy is constantly throwing missiles at your life, throwing opportunities at your life, wanting you to waver, wanting you to fail, wanting you to falter. You clearly have an enemy. The enemy was defeated on the cross of Calvary when Jesus shed his blood. Your enemy was defeated when Jesus got up from the grave that day. Your enemy was clearly defeated when Jesus left this earth and sent the power of the Holy Spirit to envelop you and fill you so that you could walk out this life in the authority of the Holy Spirit. So you have the power. You have the authority in the name of Jesus to come against those spirits that try to cripple you in this day, in this hour in which you live. Let me share a story with you as we come to a close. A story that speaks clearly to my heart as to where some of us may be in our spiritual walk. On the Sabbath day, the Bible says in Luke 13, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who the Bible says was crippled by a spirit. She was crippled by a spirit. Now you can do all the homework. You go ahead and check behind me all you want to. I did this work. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I studied the passage. If you look up this word spirit, crippled by a what? Spirit. The first thing your mind thinks is just like you said earlier, an evil spirit. No. This word spirit here is the form of the word pneuma, which is a reference to the Spirit of God. She was crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over. She was bent over. Atalia, will you help me here? Come on, be a living example this morning. Come on, help me. Give it up for Atalia. She didn't have any warning. She didn't have any warning. Atalia, because you're in a better condition to illustrate this than me, could I get you to just bend over like this, as far as you can bend down? Okay. Now hold your hands up. Hold your hands by your side. There you go. Now let's just walk around. Come on. Don't raise up. Stay down. So we're in food line, and you see me. I say, "Hey, Atalia, how you doing?" No, don't raise up. You're crippled. Remember. Put your head down. Hey, Atalia, how you doing? No. This doesn't work, okay? Your neck doesn't work. You're crippled, okay? I can't even get her to be crippled for 18 seconds. Can you imagine? I'm going to let you up in a minute, okay? Can you imagine living your life 18 years like this? You can't really go anywhere. You can't really do anything. You can't really, engage in meaningful conversation with people because you are bent. The Bible says she was bent over. She was what? Bent over and what? And she could not straighten up at all. That's why I said, no, don't bend your neck, because you can't straighten up at all. You can stand up now. Give it up for Italia. She couldn't straighten up at all. Verse 12, but when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." Okay. What do you think happened when Jesus said that? Just like that. Man, you should have heard the vertebrae popping. She straightened up. You say, "Pastor, you said that this was not a demonic spirit. Why do you say that?" That's why verse 13 is important. Come on, scholars. Verse 13 says what? Then he did what? Put his hands on her. Immediately she straightened up and praised God. Jesus never touched a person who was demonized. You don't touch. God taught me this in practicality on assignment right here in this church. One Sunday morning, I laid my hand on a person who was demonized. What does that do to a person who's demonized? Man, it's like throwing gas on a fire. I said, whoa. Don't touch this, okay? Jesus did not touch demons. What did he do to them? He spoke to them. So when that spirit comes to you, that spirit comes to your life and trying to get you to wander off of this, trying to get you to do things that you know full well is not right. Enemy, I come against you in the name of Jesus. The word says in Isaiah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my house. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times I've been called as a pastor serving in this church for the last 32 years. I've been called because demons were in people's houses and they wanted to get rid of them. That's how I met Kaisha for the very first time. She came running into this church one day, really torn to pieces, frantic, hollering, "You got to help me, you got to help me." I said, "Wait a minute, what's going on?" I didn't know her, she didn't know me. Kaisha said, "There are demons in my house." I said, "Okay, have a seat right here. Can you come to my house?" I said, "No, it's your house. It's not my house." I sat down and I typed a prayer. "Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the demonic spirits of my household in Jesus' name." Typed out the whole prayer word for word, gave her a bottle of oil. I said, "Now you go to your house and you take this prayer and you raise a window and you open the door and prop it open." And I said, "To the top of your lungs, walk through your house. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirits that..." I said, "You walk through this house, you anoint the doorpost with oil, and you command every demonic spirit to leave." About 2 hours passed, I'm still at the church. She comes back with a smile on her face. She said, "It worked!" Okay, really? Wow, okay. Kaisha started attending Carpenter Shop International Church, dedicated her life to the things of Christ, and look at what God has done with her today. Okay. You see, demonic spirits have to be treated a certain kind of way. Spirits that are pulling you into behaviors that you know are not good have to be treated the same way. Because you will justify it as quick as you possibly can. You know why you'll justify it? Because you want it. "Well, just socially, we don't really drink a lot." Okay, just keep drinking socially then. Maybe one of your children will be an alcoholic for you. "Pastor, that sounds mean." No, that's true. You just keep on introducing them to these kinds of ways. Maybe they'll be the one in your family that will have such a weakness to it that they can't help it. And they don't control it. It controls them. Now tell the pastor he's not being so mean. I'm telling you the truth. You have to take authority over every spirit that, I think it went like this, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know that this is not right. So why would you justify and say that it's okay in moderation, they say. Is sin okay in moderation? The answer is no. Sin is not okay in moderation. Well, just holidays. Sin is not okay on holidays. Sin is never okay. Because it separates you from the relationship that God so desperately wants to have with you. It brings a division between you and Him. You put His hands on her, that's the reason that I say this was not a demon spirit. And then the religious people got in it. Indignant, verse 14, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, 6 days you can do this. So come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you're a hypocrite. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, and look at what he calls her. She's a daughter of Abraham. Come on. This woman's not some demonized person. No, she's a daughter of Abraham. He gives her a title. Whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. Now you said, "Pastor, I thought you said it was not a demon spirit." It wasn't. But the enemy used her own spirit against her. How many of you have issues? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have issues with bitterness? How many of you have an anger issue?
You're mad at your dad. You are. You don't have a good relationship with him. You're angry with him. You just hate what he did. How many of you are angry with your mama? And you come to church and you worship and you speak in tongues and sing songs and tears even come down your face. But you're still angry with your mama. There's some spirit that's just lurking. And no, it may not have you bent, but it does have you crippled. You may not be physically affected like this woman was, but you're certainly not living the abundance of life the way Christ wanted you to live it. I've had some things to happen in my family that are very hurtful. My wife knows the story. My kids know the story. But it's not, this is not the place to talk about stuff like that. But it's hurtful. And it hurt me deeply. And I have every right to want to be angry. Very angry. But you know what, Joseph? I don't choose anger. I don't choose anger. What do you choose? I choose forgiveness. I choose forgiveness. Some of you, odds are that some of you that are sitting in this room have been inappropriately dealt with by someone of the opposite sex. And you don't even want to go to the family. I don't even want to visit my family at Christmas because he's going to be there. You see? The enemy knows that, and the enemy wants to magnify that in your life. He wants you to think about that. No, he doesn't. He wants you to give this whole thing, every bit of it, he wants you to give it to Jesus and be freed. Should not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said all this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. All the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. You know, I'm not a theological expert, but I've studied this passage enough to know that I'm not going to give all the credit here to the enemy. This woman took part in her own frustrations. I don't know what happened to her, but somehow or another she chose to continue to walk in this oppressive situation, this depressed scenario in which she found herself. And over the years, she grew worse and worse and worse. Let me tell you something. Emotional pain and hurt and trauma is a serious, serious thing, and it will cripple you. It will cripple you. I've had people say simple things like, "Well, I don't get around people very much." You know, you ever heard that before? I don't mix with people too much. Why? Because something happened has caused you not to trust anyone. Okay, so I just stay to myself. Oh yeah, I don't go out a whole lot, Pastor. I just stay to myself. Oh, really? Then why? Because God created you to be a very emotional being who enjoys fellowship and connection. You know one thing I like about this church the most? Somebody say, what, Pastor? You. Okay? I like you. Yeah. In fact, I love some of you. Okay. I love all of you. I'm amazed that when I get in people's presence and you get to know them a little bit and you find out, wow, I saw a different side of LaVon. I didn't know LaVon that well. I saw a different side of her. Okay. Because I got into her world. Okay. And I learned something about her. And she learned something about me. And that's social interaction. And some of you don't do social interaction very well because something traumatic has happened to you. And you're better off just kind of stay tucked in your shell.
Do you know there are some people that get here late every Sunday and leave early? You know why? Because they don't want to get around people. That's not good. That's not good. My question is, what is it that has crippled you? You've just come to a revival, and wow, what an amazing impact this revival had on our lives. And yes, some were saved. Yes, some were filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, some were just given the fire of evangelism. And some of you were given an opportunity just to say, you know what, I'm gonna hear the Lord laying his hand on this little spiritual thing in my life. And I'm gonna be freed from that. And no longer is life gonna be like this for me. Am I going bald anyway on the top? Can y'all tell that? Such a prideful thing. I'm gonna allow the Holy Spirit to lay his finger on whatever it is that's got me living life like this, because God wants me to stand tall in this day and this hour and be lifted in my spirit and be encouraged, because he's got greater things for me. Amen. Some of you clearly in this room, I know this because I know this because I know this because the Lord spoke this to my heart. Some of you clearly in this room, there's a spiritual impact that's been riding with you on your journey. And you're ready to kick them out of the car. Say no more. I'm not going to let this hurt. I'm not going to let this anger. I'm not going to let this bitterness. I'm not going to let what she said, what he did, whatever. I'm not going to let that happen any longer. I'm going to get up out of this. And I'm going to live life to its fullest. Come on, if Holy Spirit is speaking to you, stand to your feet right now. Just if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up and come. Come right on out of your seat and just stand right here at the front. Come right on out here. Let the Holy Spirit today give you a new fire, a new passion, a new desire to get the fullest out of life that you can possibly get. Come on, I need my prayer people. The altars are experiencing people coming forward here. I'm not going to settle for the enemy's game. I'm not going to settle for the enemy's darts. I'm not going to settle for all of his negative aspect on me. I'm going to live freely. Going to live freely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just go ahead and sing it. Thank you, Father. Father,
because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shadows burn like fire.
Take this just a step further this morning. I just want to be honest with you about me. Sometimes there's a behavior, let's call it a behavior. It's just an attitude or a behavior. Sometimes there is a reaction that will come out of me that I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but you say, man, I just sound just like my, come on, anybody? I just sound like my dad. Okay, have you ever experienced that? Or I just sound just like my mama. She used to make me feel that way. Anybody, come on, y'all. Come on, who the Son sets free is free indeed, y'all. Come on. We're just being family here. Sometimes I will hear my reaction or see my reaction, and I'll just get angry. I'll say, dog, I don't like that. Okay? What is that? That's a spirit, okay? Not a bad spirit, but it's the spirit of the household that you came up in. It's a great power in socialization, okay? Socialization. It's almost like a learned spirit, a learned behavior, a learned response. And so I'll just say, you know what? I'm not going to be like that, okay? I don't want to be like that. And so I have to come in authority against that and say, you know what? I'm not going to be that way. I just curse that in Jesus' name. And I choose to respond differently. Is that good, Pastor Noli? I choose to respond differently. And it's almost like you have to retrain your spirit to say, hey, you may say, I know my mom was like that, or I know my dad was like that, but you know what? I'm not going to be that way. Because when mom or dad was like that, you didn't like it, did you? So what makes you think your kids would like it any better? Okay. This is a good time. That may sound minimal. You say, well, man, that sure don't bend you over. No, it doesn't bend you over double. It doesn't put you in a wheelchair. But it does inhibit you being the person that you feel like God really wants you to be. So today would be a good time to say, you know what, Lord? I just want to tell you. I want to call it out. This is something that I don't like about myself, and so I just give that to you afresh and anew. Come on, I believe this is a good time to do that. Father, right now, as your children are just calling out behaviors, sociological norms, things that they have just always seen as normal, but they really are not happy with it. I just take a moment right now and just let us cast those things to Him. God, knowing that you are able to just renew our spirit in such a way to quicken us, then when we would be tempted to respond in a certain way, that we would be able to catch that and respond differently. I just feel that, even for my own self today. I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. I don't have to respond that way. I don't have to respond that way. Thank you for liberating all of us to live our lives with a greater expectation. Be conformed to your will for us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That may sound trivial to you. To some of you say, man, that's kind of crazy. Well, if you know what I'm talking about, it's not crazy to you. You rejoice in that there's a moment like that you can say, God, I just give myself afresh and anew to you. Our brother here in the military has been serving Jesus for 2 years, y'all. We checked with him this morning, and he says, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ 2 years ago. So here he is in your church, okay? Amen? Love you, man.
Again, thank you for serving. Thank you, Lord. Man, there's such a sweet spirit in this room. I don't know what God's doing, but obviously we don't want to hinder what he's doing. So if you need to quietly step out, we're going to let the worship team just kind of bring us to a close here. We're not going to say a final prayer. If you need special prayer for something, if something, maybe there's a healing, maybe we missed it in the service, maybe something physical going on with you, and maybe you'd like special prayer, just make your way to the front. Somebody will meet you here. If you're a guest today, please go by our welcome center there in the foyer. We have a gift for you, and we'd love to have a record of your visit today. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Okay, Pastor Noli says that there are concert tickets available at the Welcome Center. If you just like an old-fashioned way, a paper ticket or something like that, we got you covered. This is no excuse Sunday, y'all. You don't want to mess with your phone, we got paper tickets, okay? So God bless you. Make your way to the foyer and have an awesome day, y'all. Have an awesome day. Thank you for being a part of the worship service today. God bless you.